So I would have assumed bird watching was a pretty niche activity. Is it really that popular in Australia?
Yeah, it's pretty popular in Australia. Yeah, it's not quite as popular as other parts of the world, say the UK or America, but it's growing in popularity.
Now, is the sighting like the one I mentioned in the introduction very common or is this sort of a once in a, maybe not once in a lifetime, but a very rare thing?
Yeah, so like it's so for this bird, it's very, very rare. But in general, these types of instances, which is just when a vagrant bird, so it's a bird that's far outside its normal range, sometimes hundreds, sometimes thousands of kilometers outside of its normal range, those happen on a more surprisingly regular basis than you would think. So, for instance, in 2019, I can think of three instances, I think. There's a collared pratincole in Perth, which was the first Australian record, and a tufted duck in Melbourne, which is the first Australian record. So both of these instances generated quite a few people traveling to see these birds.
Yeah, and is the kind of crowd size we saw, is that sort of normal for a rare thing like this, or was this an exceptionally big crowd?
No, I think it's pretty normal. I think it depends on a lot of factors, and the truth is we don't know how those factors influence it, but it probably a lot of it depends on how far away from it is from a major city. How hard is it to get there? So we estimated between 375 to 581 bird watchers went to Old Bar. But that's, it's a rough estimate because it's hard to study these types of things because you can't just sit at a site for 24/7, 3 months on end, just waiting for people to come and go kind of thing. So it is an estimate.
Yeah, and it seems like all these birders were at the site within a couple of weeks. How does word spread so quickly amongst birders?
Yeah, so back when I first started birding, we had what was called phone trees. So it basically was a big giant phone tree where, someone found a rare bird. They called the people. They had a couple people they would call, and they had a couple people they would call, and the word would spread pretty quickly. But nowadays we don't have that problem because we have Facebook and social media and all these things, and so it just goes up on a Facebook page, and then everybody and their brother knows about it by the next day usually.
And as we mentioned in the intro, the bird watching event sparked a bit of a boost to the Old Bar economy. How do you go about estimating how much of a boost that was?
Yeah, so it's hard to, it is a difficult thing to estimate, and we can't really say how much of this economic expenditure actually went to the Old Bar economy. You can only speculate how much went to the Old Bar economy. This was generally just the general economic expenditure of the event, and that's estimated mostly based on how far people travel there using what's called a travel cost method. It's a very common method in the economics to measure like the worth of natural resources. So you estimate how far people are willing to travel to give you a estimate of how much this event is worth or this resource is worth. Now that being said, again, we can speculate that a lot of birders would have ate. I know when I went there, I know myself, we stopped and got food in Old Bar. A lot of birders would have stayed in Taree. A lot of birders stayed overnight, ate at the local shops, pubs, etc. So they would have seen quite a few people staying there.
And in your study, you mentioned that ecotourism can actually contribute to the destruction of the environment. Does there need to be a way to funnel the revenue generated from bird watching back into conservation?
Yeah, so I don't, I think destruction's a bit of a harsh word, but there, I think there are, these types of benefits need to be weighed against the potential negatives, and in some instances, the negatives include bad behavior by birders, so trampling the habitats and such, harassing birds with cameras, etc. So I do think you need to consider these instances and weigh those off. And we did look at how much people would be willing to basically donate money to an NGO and kind of in order to see that bird as kind of a, like in order to see that bird, what is it kind of worth to them? Just as another way to look at that. And we found that, collectively over the 200 people that we, surveyed and extrapolating that, up to 30,000 AUD could have been potentially generated for, conservation fundraising.
And just finally, I know that it would have been a great experience for you and the other birders to see this bird, but is this a climate change story? Is this bird only this far south because of the changing climate?
Yeah, it's tough to say. There's a lot of hypotheses about why these vagrants take place, but the vagrants have been taking place for years. Sometimes it's storms. Sometimes it's just a lost compass. I don't think there's any direct link to climate change that we can definitively say, but it is a hypothesis that's floating around out there that's increasing vagrancy with these various aspects of climate change. Yeah.
Well, hopefully it's just an odd occurrence, and it's great that you and other birders were able to see the bird and generate money for the Old Bar economy. Corey, thank you so much for joining us on the program this morning.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.